I'm John Wilkerson with the Cowboy, Jimmy Hyams, and it's Rivalry Thursday. We're here at Powell High tonight. It's the Panthers against Catholic, and we're joined by Mark Packer, the driving force behind Rivalry Thursday. Mark, how are you?
I'm good. I will be better if come 7 o'clock we're not loading the animals up 2x2 again.
It just seems to follow you.
Yeah, I'm just dragging you into my mud this time. The weather forecast, every day you look at it, it's sunny and
it's
gorgeous.
Yeah, exactly.
And then 7 to 9 Thursday night, 100% chance of rain. What did I do? So,
and then gorgeous after that.
Yeah, exactly. Clears off, it's going to be a beautiful night. It could be a great game and a great atmosphere for both of us tonight, radio and TV, to have this kind of matchup.
Well, and as we were talking with Coach Lowe, and we were talking right at the start of the show.
Who was great, by the way.
Yeah, he's got a lot of energy.
Wind him up and release the string.
And why shouldn't he? His team's 7-1. But to think how long Powell and Catholic have been a part of the high school landscape in Knoxville and these parts, and yet have never played, that's one of the really cool things about Rivalry Thursday, making matchups like this happen.
Yeah, and what's disappointing, and I'll be real about it, is that the former Catholic coach, Steve Matthews, was the driving force behind this game. And how it all started is Steve called and we talked. He called me multiple times and said, we just can't get anybody to play us right now. And there are a number of teams that I'll say on the radio, they're the heck no teams. When everybody is trying to schedule their non-region games, if you mention you won't play Alcoa,
heck no.
Blank no, or heck no. You know what I mean? If you want to play Maryville, no. Do you want to play West? No. Do you want to play Catholic? Do you want to play Powell? And do you want to play Oakland? Okay, there are all these teams that are just in this category. And so what you end up telling them all is you're going to have to go play each other. You're going to have to go get on the island and play each other. And Matt agreed to it and said, yeah, let's do it. And so I had to work hard to make that one happen.
Mark Packer of Rivalry Weather joins us.
Yeah, seriously.
Do you think, in the years you've been here, do you think this might be Powell's best team?
Yeah, you can't say that it's not. Because you look on the offensive side, let's start there. Let's not even start with Little Walter. I can't say Big Walter, it's Little Walter. His dad, Big Walter, is supposed to be here tonight. Couldn't be here for the Oak Ridge game. They're selling a house, and he just couldn't make it. But Big Walter told me he will be here tonight. So he and Yolanda actually sat right in front of us over at Maryville, and I had people messaging saying who are the people that we can hear on TV? And I looked down and said, well, that's Walter Nolan's parents, On the offensive side, Jordan Potts is as much of a Johnny Manziel pre the NFL that you will find. And the reason I say that is in the NFL, Manziel was a bust. But in college, he was all that in a bag of donuts. And that's Jordan. Jordan's best when he's on the run. Jordan is best when you flush him out of the pocket. Corey Mobbs was saying, the Catholic head coach, you want to get Potts off his mark. And I'm like, actually, you don't. You want to make him stuck in the pocket, which is anti every other quarterback. He is his best when he's on the run and he's looking downfield. And you look at all these receivers he's got. He's got three legitimate Division I wide receivers running around out there. So negative Ghost Rider, the pattern is full. I mean, they've got athletes everywhere. And on the defensive side, to what Matt said earlier, Walter is taking up 2-3 guys on every play, and he's just freeing up players. Cannon Lusby's having a great year. I mean, it's a great matchup for high school football as the cold front comes through, and you can hear it.
Yes.
Catholic at its best, can they beat Powell?
They can at their best. Mm-hmm. At their best. Obviously, and I'll let John speak to this, I think inexperience at quarterback is a challenge against this kind of defense, although he's growing up. Mm-hmm. I've always said that a freshman quarterback becomes a sophomore about this time of year. Sophomore becomes a junior becomes a senior, and a senior is ready to leave. So I think your young quarterback as a freshman, he's more experienced than a freshman at this point.
Yeah, and coming off his best and most impactful game, even though they came up short against Pope John Paul II last week, has gotten used to life in a big cast on his left hand.
Yeah.
So I do think that one thing that has been impressive, is while he has faced a number of different looks, he's had poise this year that you don't normally see from a first-year, a freshman quarterback.
Well, and the question that I'll ask you, John, I'll throw this back on you, is you can fall into the trap of looking at the scores against the CPAs and the Lipscombs of the world who have been in this arena for quite a while. They've got it mastered. Okay, they've got the private school football mastered. You know, Catholic, Coach Matthews leaves, and Corey Mobbs comes in, and I'm very impressed with Coach Mobbs and what he can do. But I think much as Josh Heupel come in, I think it just takes time. And so I think Catholic's got a lot of talent, but are they to the level of the Lipscombs that almost knocked off Oakland or the CPAs that almost knocked off Oakland? No, they're just not there yet. But I think they've got enough talent to win this game.
I think they could. Keandre Jarman is going to be back on the field for the Irish. He wasn't a part of last week's game, and he is such a good running back.
Yeah.
And you can just see him benefiting from all the experience that he's had, and that is he's got such patience while waiting for something to open up. And then as soon as he sees just a seam, he can hit that break. So it is going to be a challenge because it is such an impressive defensive front. And we got to see Powell in week two
against Maryville.
Get the early lead against Maryville, yep. And then Maryville come on like gangbusters. And then week before to open the season, Powell had erased a huge deficit against Anderson County.
160-48.
Yes.
And they just scored again.
Yeah.
I mean, one
but
of those
since
games.
Then, I mean, it's been almost a month and a half since they've allowed more than two touchdowns to one opponent.
Here's the biggest thing, I think, and I'm sorry to just camp out on the Walter Nolan thing, but when we saw Walter against Anderson County here, and when we saw him against Maryville, he had been on the Walter Nolan victory tour. Okay, they'd been driving around trying to figure out where they were going to go to school, where they were going to live. They were stopping and eating at Nick and Jay's, and you know he wasn't working out. He was in the car driving around. He's a different player now than he was then. Because he told me this last week, he goes, I'm in shape now. So it's a different Walter Nolan. When folks watched him against Maryville, they're like, he wasn't as impressive as I thought he was going to be. Okay, well, Maryville's pretty good. Okay, Maryville's coached up pretty well. It was a hot night, and Walter wasn't in the best shape of his life at that time, to be real honest. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. And by the way, speaking of Maryville, West at Maryville tomorrow night.
Yeah.
West is 7-1. You know, they're number one in the state. They're 7-1 because they lost to Alcoa on TV. Yeah. And they'll go to Maryville tomorrow night, which will, you know, be an interesting game.
What's the best thing West does as far as their chances to beat Maryville?
A belief. And it's a stupid answer, but belief. When we saw them against Alcoa, you watched them out there and you're like, you know, they're not as talented as Alcoa. But they hung around the chicken coop the whole night. They just hung around all night. Lamar Brown coaches them up as good as anybody. He really does. Trayvon Barfield's a really nice running back that they've got. And they've got a belief they know how to win. That's a sneaky good game. Central and Halls is a very important game tomorrow night. When you talk about in 5A and those teams that are fighting for playoff positioning, Central and Halls is a big one. Central is at West next week, which – win or lose for Central tomorrow night, Central and West next week will be for the region title and the number one seed. So I think a game that's more important for Halls and Scott Cummings than it even is for Central.
What's the key to that game, Halls and Central?
Oh, my goodness. I think can Ryan Bolton play clean? He's the quarterback for Central. He's a second-year starter. I've taken over for Dakota Favre. He's a really nice quarterback, but they've got to establish a passing game so that it doesn't all just fall on their running back, Mills. Halls is sneaky good. I mean, Scott just does such a great job at Halls. He's our offensive coordinator in our Rivalry Showcase All-Star game on December the 11th. We did our player selection yesterday. I think Jarman's going to be in that game. Winton's going to be in that game. And so Cummings is salivating to have an All-Star cast with his offensive scheme for the game.
That's really cool. And are you going to have room for the band members to make it actually all onto the field?
You know, it's interesting. Things changed this week. It's funny you mentioned that. Ron Rogers, former Farragut and William Blunt band director, is our band director. He's since retired, but he's really looking forward. He's going to be out here tonight, but he's looking forward to heading up our band for the Rivalry Showcase, which is December the 11th. And we had planned to only have seniors. It'll be seniors from 56 local schools. Greenville's been at it. So 56 local schools. And he sends out an email Tuesday, and he says, "We want to make a great first impression for the band, so all band members are invited to be a part of this band." And I'm like, "Well, I was supposed to give T-shirts to every kid in the band. If you're going to try to get 1,000 kids out there for this thing, I'm not providing 1,000 shirts. I don't know what we're going
to
do.
Give them to the seniors."
Oh, my goodness.
That's exactly what I said. See, there's a great business mind.
Gee, I think like you. Uh-oh.
Yes. Yes. Without the flashing lights. But anyway, yes.
Really enjoyed your conversation with Walter Nolan. Yeah. That was a neat thing. What can we look forward to tonight at the half?
Tonight at halftime, and I've got to think for just a moment, we've got the Matlock kick for tires, by the way. Nobody has made the field goal, and I can't move it up at this point. I just can't move it up. It's homecoming. I hope that halftime happens at the right time. But LMU's new basketball coach is going to join us.
Okay.
They have had such incredible success in basketball, and they got a change at the coaching position. And so he's going to join us live to talk about the LMU basketball team, and so I'm looking forward to that at halftime tonight. And then can you believe next week, the last week of the regular season?
Yeah, we go up to Gatlinburg.
Be up there. Sorry, I can see Jimmy going, "Packer, why did you do that?" But, yeah, Pigeon Forge in Gatlinburg, Pittman next week. One of the most beautiful venues for high school football anywhere in America. 100%.
I mean, yeah. It is such a gorgeous setting. And I'll say this, when the sun starts to set behind the press box at Heritage High, that might be the only place that can rival it.
No,
all that you see.
I agree with that. Now, the challenge for me is that CB45, who's standing right here, and Joe McNish, our stats guy, and Zach Nelson, who's our grand poobah intern, runs around everything. They have told me that I have to get up there early to take in Hillbilly Golf.
Oh, yeah.
So I think we should invite the two of you to come and join us early for Hillbilly Golf. We'll make sure he gets a great social media presence, lots of pictures of Jimmy out there. Jimmy's a great golfer. Have you played golf with Jimmy?
Yes, we have.
So here's the deal. We go play Hillbilly Golf, and you're going to Shoal Creek. Now, what's the deal?
Yeah, Austin Price has got his golf Ponzi scheme working, and he's playing all these courses around the country. So he says about 3 weeks ago, he goes, "Hey, we got an open spot for Shoal Creek on Friday, the day before Tennessee, Alabama. Do you want to go?" Yes, I want to go. So as soon as the game's over tonight, we are driving past Chattanooga and then getting up tomorrow to play Shoal Creek tomorrow. And really, really looking forward to it.
I almost always learn something when I have had the chance to play golf with Jimmy, and I help him count to 100 and beyond. keeps track of my score.
Jimmy does not need to get to 100. And what's funny is when Jimmy plays, it's kind of like when you Rocky Balboa in Rocky III, when the Eye of the Tiger music starts playing. It's like the look in his eye just changes. He goes to a different place in golf. He's really good. I'm serious.
I've no doubt. I mean, I've had the chance to play with him a number of times, and it is. It's kind of like
mess with him.
You have the pitcher that's throwing a shutout or a no hitter. You just
don't mess with him.
John and I played with Jerry Green one time.
That we did.
That was entertaining.
That's right. It was.
I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was.
So it's tonight. It's Catholic and Powell. Next week, it'll be Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg Pittman. Yeah. And then you guys will become, not Rivalry Friday, but Playoff Friday.
Playoff Friday. And that's always a fun adventure to kind of just look at the schedule. And there are a few givens, okay? There's a few givens. And we talk about this. I mean, there's Alcoa in the semifinal. There's Oakland and Maryville playing in the 6A semifinal. This year it's at Maryville. Maryville will look to bounce back after what happened last year in the semifinal. Oakland's got everybody back. So that'll be a big challenge. But and I never bet against Derek Hunt and Maryville, especially at home. Yeah. I just don't. 5A is going to be wide open. 4A, I think, is Greenville, and then everybody else. I think that Greenville with Mason Gudger at running back and Gillespie out there at a wide receiver position, their line is really, really good. I think Greenville's got to be the favorite in 4A, but 5A, I think you put Powell and West up there and you see what can happen behind them.
Yeah, it is going to be, once again, so exciting to watch teams in this area do what they can, and they just year in, year out, they continue to add to that trophy case, because it's not just one or two teams that have a chance, but there are so many that will be able to perhaps bring home that elusive gold football.
Thankful we're able to do that. And I will say this last thing on Walter Nolan, that the last two weekends, I guess you know where he was the last two weekends, each of the places he went, the home school got fined six figures. He was at College Station 2 weeks ago for Alabama beating Texas A&M. Then he goes to Tennessee, and that whole thing happens. I don't know where he's going this week, but wherever he is, stay tuned for the whole game.
That's right. Tell the AD to break out the checkbook.
Yeah, exactly.
This nothing kid that Walter's doing.
This kid's going to cost you money in more ways than you even know, because wherever he goes, you're going to get fined.
Mark, always appreciate it. Thank you so much. Good luck with the weather. Have a great call, and we'll see you in Gatlinburg.
Same for you. I will hear you in the press box down next to me, and be a lot of fun. You'll be on the radio, and I appreciate that so much, you guys making the commitment to do the radio this year. It's been a whole lot of fun.
Well, it has been a blast, and sometimes I saw the neatest tweet, and that was somebody had to leave the game last week, and they said it was so helpful that they weren't able to stay around for all of Oak Ridge and Carnes, and what a big win for Carnes, but they were able to track it on the radio.
Speaking of just scored again, how about Deshaun Bishop? Good gravy.
Holy smokes.
Carnes is not Carnes anymore, I'll promise you that. They are a different animal this year.
But thank you as always, Mark.
You bet, guys. Thank you.
Mark Packer of Rivalry Thursday. We check in with Eric Kane. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. Doing well. Tennessee continues to put in some work ahead of the third Saturday in October. Of course, the game down in Tuscaloosa Saturday night at 7 o'clock Eastern time. Josh Heupel has been making the rounds the last couple of days. He was on the SEC teleconference Thursday morning. He made an appearance on Vol calls last night, and then his final media appearance of the week, a meeting with the media earlier today in a press conference setting. He said, hey, it was a good day of work, a walkthrough day today, and have to continue to prepare the right way. The test for Alabama, it's going to be tough, but we're going to have a great time doing it. He reiterated that, you know, Hendon Hooker has continued to get some work in this week, as has Joe Milton and Harrison Bailey, and of course Hendon Hooker coming off leaving that game with an injury on Saturday, and said that they'll determine, you know, who's going to be the quarterback as the week goes on. But plenty of Josh Heupel video and audio is up on our website at 991thesportsanimal.com.
Eric, in regard to the offensive line, they've had a number of injuries. And before the year, Kayron Calvert basically was thought he was lost for the season. Sound like Coach Heupel says there's a chance that Calvert could return.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. He said it last time on Vol calls and then kind of said it again. Reiterated today earlier in his press conference setting, and that would help this offensive line an awful lot. I mean, wouldn't you like to have a guy like Kayron Calvert right now, as thin as you are on this offensive line? And, you know, it sounds to me like he's still a ways away, and he'll have to work himself back, get himself in shape and all that. But if it's ever to a point where he's got the green light and he's ready to roll, I mean, you talk about a guy that can play guard, he can play tackle. Depending on, you know, what the situation is, you can put him at tackle, slot Cade Mays down to guard and then roll, or, you know, whatever the case may be. But, you know, Kayron Calvert's a guy that potentially could have been a starter on this football team. At the very least, he could have been a guy that could play multiple positions off the bench. But, again, a guy that could have affected a lot of different ways on who plays, you know, what. But he's a veteran. He's been a starter in times past. So if he's able to get back for Tennessee at some point this year, that's nothing but good news for Glenn Ellerbe and Josh Heupel, but we'll have to see exactly how far away he is.
Where do you think quarterback Joe Milton is mentally?
Yeah, Josh Heupel was asked that earlier today in the press conference, and he said each situation is different. He said on Saturday a couple of things he did really well. On the last play, obviously that was something that he did not need to do, and he said it all starts in practice. He said that Milton continues to respond, and he will respond to the final play of the game in a positive way. He said he expects to learn from it and to grow from it. You know, Joe Milton, that was a tough situation to be in, but I mean, that's the nature of being, you know, a backup, backup quarterback, a backup player. You're sitting over there, you've got to stay mentally locked in all game long. You never know exactly when your number might be called, and his number was called on the very last series of the game. And to his credit, he came down there and did well, completed a pass, and you know, had Tennessee in position, just missed on that one throw to the end zone, and obviously had the mental lapse there on the final play. But Josh Heupel says he's going to learn from it, and that he's fine with where Milton is right now in terms of his mentality, and that he's continuing to bring it and staying locked in practice each and every day.
Do you think Hooker will play?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it. The mood continues to shift into more positive as the week goes on. Yeah, he has been at practice. He has been getting some work in, and it'll be interesting. I would not play him if I was a coach, simply because I would want to make sure that he was 100% right. You have a bye week coming up, and then you have a big game against Kentucky on the road. But that's just me. I'm not a football coach. But it seems like that certainly is a possibility at this point in the week.
And finally, what did Coach Heupel say about injuries?
Yeah, as far as the running backs, last time on Vol calls, he said you're continuing to get healthier there. He said that they're close to having a full stable of running backs as they get closer to Tuscaloosa, if not have a full stable. So it looks like the running back backfield is getting better and better. He said that Cooper Mays is, again, really close to starting to be back to play. He said that Cade Mays is day-to-day, but that he has an opportunity to go get in this one. So if again, kind of like Hendon Hooker, I mean, if you're less than 100% and you're a guy like Tyon Evans or Cade Mays, you really got to weigh the pros and the cons of going and playing in this one. Of course, you want to get out there and you want to play because you want to try to win this football game, but you don't want to take the chance of re-aggravating anything, re-injuring something that could knock you out for a couple more weeks. And especially, you know, with Kentucky coming up, I think it does help that you have the bye week, but again, kind of like the same way for the last couple of weeks, you've got a couple of guys who are really close, who are kind of on a fringe, and depending on how practice went this week and how warm-ups maybe go on Saturday, you could see some guys play and some guys not. But looks like Cooper Mays is still close. Cade Mays is day-to-day. There's a chance you could potentially see Hendon Hooker now. Tyon Evans was really close last week, so I would assume that he's just as close, if not a little bit better, this week. And that's kind of where Tennessee is in terms of injury wise heading into the Alabama game.
Anything else?
That'll do it here for today. Tennessee and Alabama, 7:00 Eastern time on Saturday. The Volunteers had a walkthrough earlier today, and it will be an accelerated type practice setting tomorrow, and then they will hit the road and head to Tuscaloosa. Today's Tennessee football practice report is brought to you by Pools by Heritage. Beat the spring rush. Get your pool started now. From design to construction to maintenance, one call can do it all. Call Pools by Heritage at 947-7527.
Eric, always appreciate it. Thank you very much. Good luck with everything tonight with Rivalry Thursday. A great show in the morning, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Should be a good one tonight. Looking forward to it. Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you. And that's Eric Kane with the Tennessee Football Practice Report. It's time for Slap Shots with the president and GM of the Ice Bears, who started the season in fantastic fashion by just taking down Macon and teaching them a lesson or two. Mike, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for having me on. Always a great intro. Those are great classic hockey intros. Those are so awesome. But great. Obviously, just like you said, our opening night last Friday was it was everything I'd hoped it would be. It was our 20th anniversary, and when we opened the doors, I mean, we knew we were going to have a good crowd. But our walk up was fantastic, and the people just kept coming. It was great to see. After only being able to put 1,500 to 2,000 in the building last year, we were close to 4 for opening night. So that's a great sign for us.
So did you have any cake left over?
We had a little bit left over. We gave it to the boys after the game, and they devoured it. But it was indeed the biggest cake I'd have ever seen. So it we had balloons everywhere. Chili Bear's birthday. The fans saying happy birthday to Chili Bear. It was just guys played tough. We really and truly only had 4 or 5 faces in the lineup from last year's team. There were so many guys that want to be Ice Bears, want to be here all year, that they came out, they played physical. We basically dominated the game for the most part, obviously won 3-1, but like I always say, a great thing for a GM is a great promotion, a great crowd, a win, and a couple fights, and that all those things happened, and couldn't have been happier.
Was the fan Boney a hit?
I'm telling you what, I mean, we had aspired to get one for a long time, and it was a huge hit. It came out after the warm-up, and people were just like, what is that? We had 12 people in it, and then after the first period and after the second period, it came out in front of the regular Zamboni, and obviously to put 12 people in it and just wave to the crowd, have a lot of fun, it's going to be a hit all year long. It's going to be an upsell for our group sales, And like I said, it's already been asked to be at a couple different parades, so it's definitely a hit, and we're looking forward to having that going around all year.
Hey, Mike, with folks excited about going to watch hockey after COVID last year, how are season ticket sales, box seats, group tickets, how are they going?
Outstanding. There's a, especially our box seats, which are right on the glass. There's, you know, you can buy a box of 12, and you get service right to the box. You know, talking to our ticket staff in our Monday morning meeting, it's like some of these games are being sold out on the boxes right away. But you know, a lot of things we're doing right now is just reaching out to businesses and seeing what they're doing for their Christmas parties and their staffs. And we have games that you know, you buy a group of 12 or more, everybody in the group gets a $25 Ice Bear hat. So it's nice to be able to do groups again and not have to socially distance anybody. You know, the crowd was so, like, especially when one of our guys dropped the gloves the other night, it's, you know, it's so electric in there. And I know the building holds 5,000, but, you know, group sales and season tickets sales especially, we're getting right back up to the number that we were at, right around 1,300, 1,400 in season ticket sales. And that's awesome. You know, just the response we're getting from people, just to be able to do what we've been doing for so many years and at full capacity again. We're, you know, the staff's excited. They're doing a great job. And, you know, it was just nice to be back in the element last Friday night and just hearing the building roar.
You are, of course, celebrating 20th anniversary or 20th season, and you've got some really great looks. But along with what you're wearing on the home ice, you always do such a great job of coming up with different and unique looks to drop in throughout the course of the season. Do you know how many specialty nights that you'll have when it comes to Ice Bears jerseys?
Yeah, absolutely. We wore our 20th anniversary jersey, which will be our third. Our thirds, they're gray. They looked awesome. We sold a ton of replicas for that game. But we go on the road tomorrow night, so we're wearing our whites. Those are a different look than we've ever done before. But, yeah, great question. We have a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle jersey that we've designed. We have a hockey top, all vol night. It's a really cool design. SantaCon, Ink in the Rink. We're doing another Preds jersey. We're doing Peanuts Night again, and St. Hat-Tricks right around St. Patrick's Day. So St. Hat-Tricks will be a really cool jersey as well. So a lot of great promotions that tie into these jersey nights. But you know, it's so awesome to see our fans come to the games in their hockey jerseys and that they purchased over the years or won at an auction. So we got a ton of them. They're all great designs this year.
Well, you guys never disappoint in that regard. Now, with Halloween right around the corner, I've got to imagine you're going to have something fun connected to that.
Yeah, so like I said, we're on the road tomorrow night, but we're back in action on the following Saturday on the 30th. That's our Wiener Dog Race night number one. And then the very next day we're doing trunk or treat for the kids in the plaza before the game, and that game is on Sunday at 3:00. So a quick turnaround for two back-to-back home games, but yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. You know, especially Wiener Dog Race night never disappoints. Usually sells the building out. You know, and anybody listening that has a wiener dog that hasn't put them in a race, it's something to be seen. And like I said, we're racing a lot of things this year on our promo calendar, so it's going to be a fun year. And like I said, if it's any indication of how last Friday night went, you know, we're going to have a great season of attendance and a lot of fun things planned.
Hey, Mike, for those that don't know, what entails Trunk or Treat?
Trunk or Treat is just we have a bunch of vendors that we have come, and they set up their cars, their vehicles, their business vehicles, whatever it is. And they just have they open up the back of their trunks and you know, just give candy to the kids, and the kids are dressed up before the game, and it's just another family friendly thing that we do. You know, it's in the daytime, so it's a safe environment around before the doors open, so it's a fun thing.
And I wonder, with the NHL having started recently, how much excitement have you seen from your fan base just about following the NHL as well?
Well, it's great, you know, and it's on ESPN this year, so it's being heavily covered, and it's you know, obviously we're a real really closely with the Predators. We have some great contacts with the Columbus Blue Jackets. It's just nice, like I said, it's neat to see our fans come to the games in their favorite hockey jerseys. If it's not an Ice Bear jersey, it's just a hockey jersey that they've had for years and that they covet. And it's a great buzz. It was a great buzz just all around the building. Leading up to the game, there was some nerves, I guess. Always getting that first game out of the way. When you've got new sponsors and new partners and all the production that goes into the game and everything has to hit at a certain time. Just stuff like that. It was great to get it off the ground. It was just great to see a lot of people again that we hadn't seen in a while.
Have you seen a Seattle Kraken jersey yet at the Civic Coliseum?
I have not seen one of those yet, but I fully expect to. Those are great jerseys as well.
They sure are. And of course, how are the folks up in Sarnia and of course, the other listeners from north of the border in London?
Well, they're doing great. I appreciate it very much. Hockey's the Ontario Hockey League is up and going again, where they kind of took a hiatus as well for COVID. Canada's a little different animal when it comes to the different things that they're doing. Like I said, my parents literally live on the border, on the lake, and they can see the bridge to the United States, but they can't cross it in a car, but they could drive to Toronto and fly. Doesn't make any sense whatsoever to me, but, that's what's going on up there. But hopefully I'll get to see them here soon, and they'll get to see some games live. But they got to spend some time with my grandmother. She's been a season ticket holder for the Junior A team in Kingston, Ontario, for years. And like I said, she's 91, so she's a huge hockey fan. She's seen some hockey games in her time, I'll tell you. But they got to see her, so all things good in Canada. That's great.
Wonderful. So if you would, set the table, and you guys do such a great job of getting fans together to watch when you are on the road. Where do folks gather to watch the Ice Bears when you're away from home? And tell folks again when your next home dates are?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. We inked the deal with Union Place just in Bearden. They have a huge screen that the Ice Bears games are going to be broadcast on every road game, and Joel Silverberg will be our play-by-play guy. We expect a lot of fans there. Union Place has become a great partner of ours, and so that's where we'll be tomorrow night, watching the game. Our fans will be, and throughout the season. So they'll have different specials. I encourage them to come up with specialty drinks like a slap shot or a penalty shot or something fun. So we'll see how that turns out. But it's going to be a great place to watch the game. And then obviously next Saturday night, it's Wiener Dog Race number one. And like I said, if you have a Wiener Dog race or know somebody or have a Wiener Dog or know somebody that has one, just simply call the office and they'll hook you up to come down and race your dog on the ice. And then, like I said, quick turnaround is a Sunday afternoon game. We have a few weird games, weird times this year. It'll be a 3 o'clock start on a Sunday afternoon on Halloween. So it'll be trunk or treat. Kids get to walk around in the plaza outside the Coliseum and get some candy from the different vendors. And it'll be a great weekend next weekend at home for us for sure.
Well, good luck to the Ice Bears away from home, and can't wait to see them back on the home ice. Mike, thank you as always, and best of luck with everything.
Guys, thanks so much for the support as always, and we'll get 2 points on the road tomorrow night and bring it on home.
Go get it.
Thanks, Mike.
That's Mike Murray, President and GM of the Ice Bears, joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. With Jimmy Himes, I'm John Wilkerson. Before we let the hour get away, we have to head to the phones where Caitlin heard the cue to call and joins us now as she tries to score a forward. Caitlin, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing quite well. Very much. We sure do appreciate your listening, and so congratulations on getting through. Saturday night, Tennessee takes on Alabama in Tuscaloosa. How do you see it playing out between the Big Orange and the Crimson Tide?
I mean, it's always ball for life, go balls, but I am going to have to bet that Alabama will probably come out on top 38-17.
38-17. I can fully understand the sentiment. You're trying to win a vehicle. So, again, we thank you so much for listening. Good luck with the prediction. Good luck with the drawing tomorrow, and have a great rest of your week. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
All right. So Caitlin's projection will go in with all the others, Jimmy, and we'll have the drawing tomorrow. If Caitlin's is chosen and Alabama defeats Tennessee 38-17 Saturday night in Alabama, what happens for Caitlin?
Well, how about winning a Mustang? Not just any Mustang, a Mustang valued at $42,000.
Yes, the 2021 Ford Mustang GT, an iconic collectible piece of American muscle, comes with a V8 5-liter. It's all right there, so we'll see what happens as to whether or not Caitlin is on target with her projection. Still an opportunity for you to score a Ford. Listen for your next cue to call. That'll be tomorrow morning during the starting lineup. Hour number two in the books. Coming up, hour number three. We look forward to being joined by Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com. That's next on 99.1 The Sports Animal.